We're continuing with hear and do, but this time it says release the zoo. We'll explain that in a few minutes. We know that God wants us to be those who know what He has for us to do, but not just know it, we actually do it. James tells us, prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves or deceive themselves. James 1:22. And we said that the gap between what we hear and what we do shows our carnality or our immaturity. The gap between what we know and what we obey is our immaturity in Christ. And God wants us to grow up, and He tells us to do that. And many of those instructions are in the plural. It's we grow up as a group. It's important that we know that. So failing to mature in Christ is a big problem. We need to close the gap between knowing and doing God's will. The best way to do that is as a group. It's we're supposed to grow both individually and corporately. And corporately, isn't that an interesting word? What's corporately mean? It means the body. And so in business and in law, there's a way of looking at a group of people as one body. And so it's not just a metaphor or a legal category. When it comes to the body of Christ, it's more than that. It is a mysterious metaphysical reality. There is a body of Christ, and every believer is in it. And so God has instructions for us as a body of Christ. Okay. We're talking about group dynamics. That's true of all people groups because God made us with certain characteristics as humans. He said it's not good for man to be alone. We are social creatures, and there's a group dynamic, but there's a special dynamic to the church. And one of the things we want to talk about today is, these are the things we want to talk about today, that every member ministers, every member serves. We'll look at that in Ephesians 4. That there's gifts of the Spirit, one Spirit, but many gifts given to the different members or parts of the body. That we're supposed to have love and unity. This will be our witness to the world. We've mentioned this before, but we want to reemphasize this, that we will be impressing the world that we're followers of Christ by the love and unity that we display, or by what we don't display. Will also impress them. So it's important for us to grow in our love and our unity. Also, we're going to talk about growth groups and how we can display that love and unity and grow in that love and unity. And then we're going to talk about fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to have a little quiz on that. Let's look in Ephesians 4. What does Paul tell us in his letter to the Ephesians? Verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. For what purpose? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, equipping the saints to do the work of service, for the saints to actually minister. Who are the saints? A football team in New Orleans, right? Who are the saints? The holy ones. How are they holy? Because they've been put into Jesus Christ. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in Him. You are a saint. You are made holy because you are in the body of Christ. And so the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Again, it's not just like a body that GM is a body, General Motors, or any group is a body. It's more than that because we're actually connected in a mysterious and metaphysical way to Christ Himself. And then he says, can we go back? I went too far. There we go. Got it. Verse 11. Thank you. Verse 11 of Ephesians 4. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So is this individual or is this a group? It's the group. It's the church. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we will no longer be children tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and craftiness and deceitful scheming. So we'll grow up and we'll be able to resist the opposition that attacks the church, that lies and deceives and tempts the church away from its mission. But speaking the truth in love, we will grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself up in love. So it's talking about how does the church build itself up? Every part has to do its part in the work. Every ligament, every joint, every organ, you know, this idea of all of us are members of Christ. And so imagine your body. What part don't you want? They found out even the appendix has a use in the immunity of the body, and that we suffer when it's gone. We need every part. And quite often we don't think of the parts until, we look at the ones we can see on the outside and we wash them or comb them or brush them or whatever. But most of the important parts you can't see. And we don't think about them until something goes wrong. And then we realize how important they are. So every part of the body is important. And it's very, very much necessary. Now this title, why did we say Release the Zoo? This comes from a statement. Francis Chan was in South America talking to a pastor of a mega church, and he said, how's it going? And he said, we're growing, but I feel like something's missing, something's wrong. Well, what's that? He said, did you ever see that movie, Madagascar, where there's these animals in a zoo, and they're all domesticated, and they enjoy their soft, easy life, and then somehow they get shipped off, and they have to go back to the wild, which they were created for, but they can't do it. Because they've lived a soft, easy life. And he said, I feel like our church are like caged animals who aren't living the wild and powerful life they were created to live. And so he said, that's what came to his mind. That we were, the way we have set up church, many people are just observing and being spoon-fed instead of learning how to feed themselves and how to live out in the wild, out in nature, out in the real world, and exist on their own. And so we haven't been training them how to do that. And he said, that's why I feel like it's the zoo. We need to release the zoo. There are things that we can do as a large group, and we can do well. And one of those is celebration and worship and it's great to see people, but some things can only be done at a smaller level. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. But look at this list of gifts and the purpose of the gifts out of 1 Corinthians 12. And notice that this is bound up in the nature and purpose of God. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Spirit and Lord. What do you think the next thing he's going to say? There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men, all the people. So what is that? Spirit, Lord, God. That's a Trinitarian formula. This wasn't invented by Constantine in the 4th century. The Trinity is right there in the New Testament and hinted at and shadowed in the Old Testament. But the same God, the same Spirit in every person, the same Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the same God, the Father, whom we worship. And someone had said that when we think of God, we always need to remember that this has always been the purpose of God, that man would relate to the triune God. God the Father, the one who's before us, whom we worship. God the Son, he's the one alongside of us. And so there's God before us, God beside us, and then the Holy Spirit, what's that? The one inside of us. Jesus said, you've had God with you, next you'll have God inside you, meaning the Holy Spirit. So there are The Trinity is in relationship with man, that's always meant to be, and man living without the Spirit, not related to God, is a monstrosity. It's almost like a zombie. We're missing that which makes life. The one who is life should be living in communion with us and we with him. We'll read that as we look at John 17. Now, to each one is the manifestation of the Spirit given for the common good. So he's given gifts to every member, but it's not just for that member. It's so the member helps the common good of the body. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit that gives them to each one, just as he determines. Who chooses the gifts that you have? God. You can ask for some. You can pray for them, but he decides who gets them. And so, is your gift better than someone else's? No. Is your gift worth less than someone else's? No. We want a body that works, and we need all of them. The body is a unit, though it's made of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. That's important. We don't want to undervalue every person, and we don't want to undervalue the church. You have a relationship. Yes, you should pray. You should read your Bible as an individual. But there's something missing if we don't do this together as a church. We're supposed to do it individually and corporately. And so it's very important. And I think we've undervalued what it means for the every person to do their gifts. And sometimes the way we do church doesn't allow people to use their gifts, and we have to make sure that we're allowing people to use their gifts. And that's something we need to strive for. Look what the Lord said at the Last Supper. He said, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. But there's a qualification. Love each other how much? In what way? Love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. Now, is that a weak love? A strong love? What did he say? No greater love is this, that one lays down his life for his friends. Jesus was laying down his life. That's a very strong love. That's the love to the max. He said, you are to love one another in this kind of way. As I have loved you, you must love one another. Now, is that normal in the world? Is that kind of love go on in the world? Only in families. And sometimes not even then. And what Jesus is forming is a new family. Remember when he was in a house and it was crammed with people because they wanted to hear him. He was a great teacher. Also, he was a miracle worker. And they said, your mother and brother, our brothers are outside. They can't get in. They want you to come out and see them. And what did he say? Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? He said, everyone. Everyone who does the will of God is my family. So Jesus came to make a new kind of family, a spiritual family. And he said, this kind of love is going to be noticed. This kind of love is not of the world. This kind of love is from another place. It's from heaven. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another in the body of Christ, because they're in the body of Christ, the way Jesus loved us, this will make an impression on the world. In John 17, in the prayer the same night, just before his arrest, while he's in the garden, he said this, my prayer is not for them alone, that is the believers. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. How many of us were in that garden that night? No, you're not that old. I know I'm not that old. Sam's 2 months older than I am, so I know he's not that old. No, we are the people who've believed because the message has been passed down to us through other disciples. And he wants us to take that same message and pass it on to others so they can believe. Because all of us together are incorporated into that body. Not for them alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their message. So that all of them may be one, Father. Now, this is so unbelievable. How united are we? What is our oneness made of? What's it like? He says, that they may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Their oneness is the same as the oneness of the Father and the Son. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Our oneness in the body of Christ is oneness in the Trinity, and the Trinity is in us, and we're in the Trinity. So you may belong to many different groups, but you dare not bring that group up to the value of the church, of the body of Christ. Now, it's true, there are many groups that call themselves churches that are not churches. We have to make sure that we are not just a church in name, but in truth. That is, we belong to Jesus Christ. But we have to value the church. Look what he says. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me. One of the ways the world will know that Jesus Christ is sent from God is when they see the unity of the church. But they'll see not only that, but they'll see how much God loves us. He says that they will know that you sent me and have loved them, that is us, the body of Christ, as much as you have loved me, the Son of God, who came to earth to die on the cross. That's pretty amazing. We need to think about that a while, because it's just, it's beyond comprehension how much God loves us and what kind of unity we have. We have underappreciated this. And this is the kind of thing we need to think about over and over again. What's the Bible call that when you think about something over and over again? You keep bringing it back to your mind. What's that called? Meditation. And how much time should we devote to that? He wants it to be on our hearts and minds all the time. This is one of the things we need to meditate on, because it's so hard to grasp. In fact, Paul prays in Ephesians, he says, give them strength in their inner man to grasp these truths, because otherwise you just can't do it. We need God's power to grasp how wonderful it is to be in Christ and belong to Christ and be part of this body that there's only one of. And it goes all through the earth and throughout time. Many of the people in the body of Christ are no longer on the earth, right? Because they'll stand on the earth again, but they're not alive right now in the body. They're not in the flesh. Although we're told by numbers there are more Christians alive right now than there have been all through the ages, just simply because of the population of the earth and the number of those who belong to Christ. So it is an amazing time to be alive and to spread the message of Christ. Now, let's talk about these groups, the corporate meeting and then the small group meeting. In Acts chapter 2, after Peter preached the gospel and many responded, it says they devoted and they were baptized. 3,000 were added the first day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. We have the apostles' teaching. I have to walk over here and pick up my Bible because it's right here. Right? You have the apostles' teaching right here. How many have a Bible? How many brought a paper Bible? How many brought an electronic Bible? Okay, either way. Or if you memorize it, that's even better. But we need the apostles' teaching because they are the ones that Jesus authorized. And he said he trained them for 3.5 years. And then he said, even the things you've forgotten, the Holy Spirit will bring back to your mind. And he will teach you. The things that Jesus began to do and to teach while he was with them before the cross, he continued to do through the Holy Spirit. And that's what record we have in the book of Acts. Jesus continuing to do and to teach the apostles. And their teaching is accumulated for us in the New Testament. The Old Testament is fulfilled in the New. Jesus said, don't think I've come to set aside the law. I haven't come to do that. Set aside the law and the prophets or nullify them. I have come to fulfill them. And then on the day of his resurrection, he opened their minds to understand how he is the fulfillment of all the promises and prophecies in the Old Testament. It's all culminates and consummates in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. They understood how special this was for people to belong to Christ. That meant they belonged to one another. And even on the night of His arrest, He took the bread and He said, "This is My body." Later, they said, just as there's one loaf, there's one body. We are one body in Christ. And so every time we take communion, we're talking not only what Christ did on the cross, but what that meant, forming a new body in Christ. That's who we are. The fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. So the breaking of bread, they kept reminding themselves what Christ has done and what that means. Everyone, well, let me stop here. Breaking the bread and prayer. Some of us are embarrassed to pray with one another. It's not an option. We have to get over that. We have to pray with one another. And we're going to do that after this, at the end of the service. We're going to pray together. But this is something that we all have to do. And if you can't do it, you need to learn to do it. And you can. If you just have to take baby steps, you can do it. But this is not an option. He wants us to be praying. Yes, go at home, pray alone, but also pray together as a body of Christ. And so we need to be doing that. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. I used to read this, that because the apostles did signs and wonders, that's where the awe came from. And it is, in part, but that's not the whole reason there was awe. There's also awe because people have never seen groups like this. They've never seen fellowship like this. They've never seen love like this. Remember, the Lord said at the Last Supper, if you love one another the way I've loved you, this is how the world will know that you belong to Me, that you're My followers. And so part of the awe, sure, the miraculous signs cause awe, but some of it is just the love that they had, how they were a family, and they had loyalty like a family. We looked at a little bit from 1 Corinthians 12. The gifts are talked about in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. But what's in between the two lists of gifts and how they work? Chapter 13. And what's chapter 13 all about? And he says, if you have all the gifts, and if you can prophesy, and you can speak in tongues, and you have all knowledge, and you have all wisdom, and you have even all faith, and even if you give yourself to be a martyr, let your body be burned. He said, but if you lack something, it doesn't mean anything. What's that? Love. So the church runs on love for one another. The love that God gave us, because He first loved us, we're able to love Him, but also to love one another. It says that all the believers were together and held everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as they need. Now, who shares stuff like that? Communes, okay. Families, right? Families do. So they had such a sense of family, and we have not that sense. So who do you think needs to change? It needs to be us. We need to change. We need to be... Oops, okay. Did I have verse 46? Okay. There we go. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So they were in the temple courts, which, and we don't exactly have that today. The temple, this was all, at this time, everyone was a Jew, right? All the believers were Jewish. They met, this started off in Jerusalem. They had the temple there, and so the people were worshiping God, but the church was among those people worshiping God, and they said, the promises that God has given have been fulfilled now in Christ. And so they were in the temple worshiping God and saying, the time of the kingdom of God has come. It's open. You can believe in the Christ. It's the Lord Jesus. He died on the cross. He came back from the dead. And so they told this message. And among the Jewish people, among the people in the old covenant, inviting them into the new covenant. But it was a big place, and they could do things there. They could meet together. They could worship together. They could witness to the other Jews and invite them into the new covenant. But there's some things they couldn't do there. They couldn't all eat together there. I mean, I suppose they could bring picnic lunches and meet outside the temple. But some things they had to do in homes. And what they did in the homes is also significant. We can meet here and we can sing praises and we could fill this up even two or three times. I mean, God willing. But some things we couldn't do in a big group. It's even hard to turn around and pray. When we ask you to pray, it's kind of awkward, isn't it? Because it's the way the pews are set up, there's all to face this way, everyone looking at this. And so you can see me, you can see the people here leading worship, but otherwise you just see backs of people's heads. I'm not saying we need to change the furniture. What I'm saying is we need to have meetings that exist outside of this time of congregational celebration. We need to have small groups dedicated to doing the kind of things that can be done in homes. If we're in one another's homes, we'll get to know each other better. We'll be able to break bread, we'll be able to eat together, and we can open up and pray and know one another and love one another and know the needs and start meeting needs of one another. And when we do that, the world will be attracted to our fellowship because they don't see this kind of love and unity and loyalty in the world. And that's what we need to do. And so another thing that people can do, once they're in a big group like this, like, I make sure I turn my mic off when we're singing. I like to sing.
I just don't want you all to hear it.
Because I'm not very musical. And so what happens is in a big group is a few people minister and many people watch. And as the bigger the church gets, the greater the number difference gets. And so some things have to be done in small groups just so that some people who are less talented or less confident will minister. Does that make sense? And if we don't have everyone ministering, we will be weak, like someone whose parts of their body stop working. Now, we're of the age where our parents, if they're still alive, are in failing health. My dad is 89 and a half. Debbie's mom is 83. She's in an independent living place and getting help. My dad wants to go to one, and it looks like today he will. So we'll ask you to pray for that later. He actually fell this week. Went to the hospital, and that's actually easier to get into at one of these homes when you fall. And so it was a mixed blessing that he is now going to be released to one of these homes. And first he'll have rehab, and then he'll be in independent living. But he was losing strength by not walking and not eating. He got tired of making food for himself, and then he didn't want to eat it. He lost his appetite. He stopped walking. And so then as he stopped walking, or he only walked very little, he lose strength. We have a saying, if you use it or you lose it. And especially at that age. And so now he's telling me how the meals he's had at the hospital, and they were so good. Usually people don't say meals at the hospital are good, but they're so good. And he's telling me, and he said, I walked down the hall 90 feet and back again with, you know, with a stroller, which is, you know, that's an improvement for him. And he's excited about that. We need everyone in the body ministering, and some kinds of ministry are only going to take place in small groups. So tonight, we're going to work on our small groups. So come tonight, those of you that signed up, and if you didn't sign up, but you want to come. And we know that some of the groups request not to meet here, and you don't have to. It's good, you can meet here. In this building, we have the building, you can use the building. We can also meet in people's homes. It's probably better to meet in people's homes to do the kind of things that we want to do. Because we don't want people to be spoon-fed, and we want to let them loose so they can live in the natural, and we can do this. Now, actually, we're running out of time, but look in your bulletin. Do you see this pink piece of paper? Or whatever color it is. What is it? Lilac. Okay, lilac. All right. Whatever that. I meant if some people had different colors, but it's not pink, it's lilac. All right. And this is out of Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And there's 1 through 9. So take a minute and just say, how do you think you're doing in the love category? Are you way at the top? Do you have any improvement? Are you way at the bottom? Where are you in your learning how to love the way Christ loves? Okay, because this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the character of Christ. And he wants us to grow in these different categories. So just quickly, it's not a scientific thing. You're not going to be held to this. I'm not turning this in anywhere. But where, just like, do you think you're even all the way across? Yes, sir.
Is 10 the master or is 1 the master?
Ah, you start at the bottom and fill it up like a bar graph. 1 is the least, 10 is the most. Thank you for asking. So we'll start at the bottom and fill it in. Now, do you think you're even all the way across? Like you're 5s or 7s all the way across? Or do you think maybe you're... There's differences in how patient you are, how kind you are, or something like that. So just fill that in real quickly. This is just simply a little tool for us to realize we need to be intentionally growing in Christ and even praying about these things. And there might be one area where God says, you need to become more patient. Work on your patience this week, or your kindness. Your gentleness can mean meekness. And so gentleness means controlling yourself and not blasting people when you could, but being gentle with them so that they can grow. Although sometimes people do need to be rebuked. Okay, so you have this idea. So, yeah, 1 is the least and 10 is the greatest. And if you think, yeah, I'm just like Christ in this area, give yourself a 10. If you think you're very worldly, and you can give yourself a 1. Okay. Let me read these as you do this. This is Galatians 5. He's talking about the way of the flesh, which is the way of the world, those people not without those without Christ, and then the walk way of the Spirit. And he says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're in opposition. They're in conflict with one another. And so that's why you can't do what you want. In other words, many of us have conflicting desires. They're in conflict with one another. And so he says, you have to choose one. If you just coast, there'll be this constant fight. And so choose one. Which one are you going to choose? Walk like the world or walk like the flesh? So choose walking in the Spirit. All right. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now that's an interesting statement, because remember, the law can convict us of sin, but the law cannot enable us to not sin. The law leads us to Christ, who gives us the legal pardon from sin and also gives us the Spirit so that we can fulfill the law through the Spirit. So you're not under the law. You're now in Christ and you have the Spirit. The deeds of the flesh, or the works of the flesh, are evident. And then he has this list of dirty laundry: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. So maybe we should have put this list up there and say, well, at least I've stopped some of these things. It's pretty good, you know. And the things like this, of which I forewarn you, just as I already have warned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on. I went too far. Go back. Can you go to verse 20? Go back, verse 22. Galatians 5:20. But the fruit of the Spirit, let's say them together: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Did you mark it up? Let me see. Let me see what you did. Yes, I do. I do want to know. Anybody mark it up? Come on. All right. In fact, why don't we ask God right now, Lord, is there something you want me to work on this week? One of these areas that you want me to grow more like Christ. Help me by your Spirit to work on these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, when in our group time, I want you to share with someone what you want to work on this week and ask someone to pray with you. Help me to improve my love. Help me to improve my faithfulness. Help me to improve my gentleness. Help me to improve my patience. Whatever it is, okay? All right, let's stop now. And I want us to sing, and then we'll do our groups, okay?